I do not want to comment.
Je me suis donné toutes les réponses dont j'avais besoin.
C'est la Fashion Week.
Ils se mettent sur le trottoir, les fashion.
What are those? Dior clothes.
It's fashion art.
It is. Fashion is hard work, gritty, it's not glamorous.
Okay, you know now, les dés sont jetés. It means like, what can happen, you know?
That's all.
Hi, Malika.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. This is a long overdue episode.
Yes.
We're really happy to have you.
We've been talking about it.
We've been talking.
For a long time. So it's nice to have you.
Thanks.
Hopefully you have a lot more things to say, a lot more experience to share. You've done some great things in the past few months. So we're
Thanks.
Excited to know everything about it.
Thanks. I'm here to spill it all out.
Oh.
Okay.
Spoiler alert. Okay, well, we're going to start it like with everybody. So can you tell us like where you grew up, a little bit about your childhood and stuff like that, and your background that we're sharing?
Yes. So I was born and raised in Milano. I grew up in the suburbs of Milano. And I come from a mixed family, half Moroccan, half Italian, just
the
like
best
you.
Mix.
The best mix.
Sorry to say.
We got the best of both worlds.
Exactly. The best kitchen in the world.
It's a very spicy mix. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Very loud.
Very loud, very talkative, you know, funny. And I was born and raised there, even though everybody thinks of Milano as a fashion capital. I never really even went to the city center until I started modeling. I never went to Monte Napoleone or things like this, you know?
Okay.
Like,
really?
I grew up in the suburbs.
So people stay in the suburbs. There's some people in Paris too, like when they go to Paris, you know, from the suburbs, it's like a trip.
Exactly.
Like a school trip or something like that. Like they go to the museum or they have something very specific to do, but then they come back to where they live, you
know? Yes, so we went to Brera every year.
What is Brera?
Brera is like where they expose the old art pieces and all the Leonardo and everything else.
Oh, okay.
I can do you a tour guide there if you need, you know?
Next time I'm in Milano.
So you grew up in the suburbs. Did you have any like siblings, brother, sister?
I have a younger sister,
you're the oldest sister.
I am.
Okay.
The wise
model.
My God.
The one you look up to.
The one that breaks the path.
That's the good one.
Okay, that's good. That's good. So how were you as a kid? Were you like a good girl, like good student? How was the school situation?
Well, okay. Well, now I feel put on the spot. Allora, I went through phases.
Okay.
First, I was a good kid.
Okay.
I was a very cute kid. I was a Girl Scout. Actually, I kept being a Girl Scout until I was 11. 18.
Oh, wow.
So throughout my whole life. And I think that was actually what saved me.
Like you were going into like the woods and stuff?
Yeah, hiking and in the tents and making fire and everything. Yeah, I loved it.
I feel like that's why you really like being in nature.
Definitely.
Right?
And I think it's very necessary if you grow up in a city, you know, to get out and, you know, to
get the natural feeling. You
know? Yeah,
exactly.
100%.
And that also made me quite responsible for myself at a young age because I had no mom, you know, when I was cold in the tent. So anyway, in school, I've never really been very good. I've never been good at...
Welcome to my team.
At studying for hours and hours. I've always been more of a creative kid and more of a... You know, very Italian and very Moroccan, and also, you know, I didn't like have teachers telling me what to do. I didn't like the authority. I never really did. But and that's why, you know, I was considered kind of a hard person to teach to.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you like mean I like was... the teachers say, oh, Malika, she's tough or stuff like
no,
that?
No, they're like, they would be like, Malika, she's very smart, but she doesn't care about school. And I would be like, yeah, I know. I mean, you're not really making me care about it so much. And also I was always outside making problems with the guys. You know, I was a bit of a tomboy. I never really had boyfriends in high school, you know. I was always friend with the guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the tomboy girl. Yeah, I can picture like the tomboy girl. Yes, yes, definitely.
Yeah. Then I have to say that growing up, I embraced more my feminine side. And also, I have to say that that probably also came when I fell in love and I felt embraced by who I am. And then I felt comfortable at letting also that side of me come out, you know, so mm-hmm. I didn't have to constantly protect myself, because that's what I knew before, the environment, but from the environment, from everybody, you know, like
where you grew up, you mean,
like where I grew up. Mm. Yeah. Even though, you know, my family has always been very nice and very welcoming and open, as soon as you step outside of the house, you know, you have to be a bit tough. I think that's also what allowed me not to take things too personally now in fashion industry, because I definitely received no's before. Mm-hmm. And I definitely
knew what it was to be tough. Exactly. Like tough environment. Yeah.
And I know that, you know, I've survived a lot of things before becoming a model, so I know that being a model is not what defines me as a person. Mm-hmm. So that's why maybe I deal okay with no's.
Yeah, know? But what do you mean by that? What are those experiences that you mentioned?
I mean, simply by being a woman in the world.
Yeah, it's tough.
Simply by, you know, having to go to school every day in the subway since you are 10 years old, and you know, having to deal with the older people, having to deal with men, having to deal with the
So you've built character.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's crazy, you know, as a man, when I hear those stories, you know, and I say, okay, if I have a girl and stuff, you know, I hear so many stories. It's so tough, you know, to be a woman.
I
like just living, you know. Yeah. Us, we just go out, man. It's easy. Yeah. You don't have to, you know, think about your surroundings or anything. You just live your life, you know.
Yesterday, I saw a video like that. It was just a guy filming himself. He was just walking in the street, and he was like, "Hey, look, girls, something you can never do." And he was just walking in the street at night.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, okay.
Yeah. Like running in the park or just walking back home from...
Yeah, I remember you posted something, I think, on Instagram where you were running, like, in your neighborhood where you live now, which is very quiet and stuff. You say, I could never do that, like, in other places at night, running by myself.
I've never done it before, you know? Mm. Yeah.
Okay, so did you graduate?
He's going back to school.
Yeah, we're going back to
school. Oh, wow.
You didn't. I didn't. Don't worry.
But I don't worry. Don't worry. I did not graduate. I started university. I started studying political science. It was actually called globalization science, which was a mix of anthropology, sociology, law, history, politics. Oh. It was very interesting. Yeah. It's what I was the most interested when I was 17, 18, and I had to choose school. Because I thought that I could change the world.
That's nice.
And but then I started working, I started modeling, and I tried to do 1 year both. That didn't work for neither of them. I wouldn't pass the exams. I wouldn't accept jobs because I had to study. And then at some point I was like, I have to choose one of the two, and I choose modeling because this is now or never, you know.
Yeah, of course. So how did you get scouted? Like,
I didn't really get scouted. It was years that they were stopping me on the street in Milano, but I didn't want to be a model.
What were you saying when they coming back?
I thought that they were trying to scam me, you know. I thought, I mean, probably some of them were, you know, because no, really. And when they start asking you for money for becoming a model, they do.
Yeah, they do. I had an interview about that a couple of months ago. Like, even in France now, they're doing this, you know, oh, you 500 euros, 4,000 euros, something like that.
No. They asked me once, was like, you have a great potential. If you pay us 5,000 euros,
4,000, 5,000, yes,
we'll teach you how to walk and
that's
make
a big
a
scam. So people will listen to this.
Yeah, but
like,
don't fall for this. Absolutely. The moment they ask you for money, you gotta run the other way. Also, I didn't have money for that, so that was kind of easy. And then when I started studying in university, I really needed a job, so I was like, let's give it a try. And I knew we had a family friend that was working in a magazine. And for my 18th birthday, my mom decided to gift me a book,
pictures,
photo shoot. Yeah. And so I went there, didn't really know how all this works. I just walk into the magazine office and they have a black drop. And so they started snapping a couple pictures and I saw that everybody instantly fell in love and was in awe with me. And I was like, wow, oh my God, maybe I can do it actually. And they suggested me someone to go meet, a casting director to go meet in Milano, that took my case very
seriously.
And he decided to fly with me the week after to Paris to go meet my current agency, Viva.
Viva.
Yeah. And it started, you know, I've never even been to Paris before.
It was the first time when you came.
Yeah, okay. It was the first time I left. I've only been to Italy and Morocco before that. Mm-hmm. So it was the first time I've ever traveled. You know.
And you were like, you were 18, right? 18, 19?
18, yeah.
Okay, so how did it go, like, coming to this office and meeting people, like, from an industry that, from what you were saying, you have no idea what's happening, right?
Yeah. Well, so at the beginning, I was a bit resistant because they were asking me all these things that I thought were crazy, like my measurements and to change my diet and to...
for the Italian Moroccan.
No, I'm not.
My pizza, my pasta.
They wanted to take polas and bikini polas, and I was like, whoa, like, chill, you know, like, I don't know you. Then I figured that's just how it goes, and that's just normal. They want to know you, so I started this with a sort of lightness because that was never...
It was never a career for you,
That
right?
was never my biggest dream in life at the beginning, you know? Mm. So, and I think that's what allowed me to just take it easier. And so... I started like this. I did 1 year going back and forth with school and everything. And then when I decided to stop school, I was like, okay, now I'm stopping university, so I need to really focus on this job.
Yeah.
It's not a game. Yeah. It's a job. And
so you took it like seriously from that point, like I'm going to make it like a career or like professional thing.
Yes, because... the people I meet in this industry, they also take it very seriously and they also work a lot. Mm. So for me not to take it seriously would be a big disrespect. And, you know, if there is one thing that my parents taught me is to work hard. So I've always been like this, you know, except for school. that's another story. I really started working and, you know, focusing on it and training harder and eating healthier and stop smoking and stop drinking. You know what I mean? Like just doing 100%. Because it's not a job. It's not like only on set, you know. It's it's a 24-hour job.
Yeah, of course.
It's about the decisions you make. It's about the people you meet. It's about how you talk to people and
how you behave on set
exactly.
And outside of the set. So, what was your first job? You remember? Your first editorial, or your first job?
Yes. So I started pretty well because I remember my first editorial was British Vogue, and it wasn't single, it was with other girls. Mm-hmm. But I was obviously the new face, you know.
Yeah.
And it felt crazy. Then I did Pop Magazine as a single story. Single story. And which was also crazy because I remember that they put me this sort of... They wanted to make a fur look with the naked legs, but they didn't really have underwear for that type of look. Mm. So they created underwear like wrapping something. It turned out very well, you know, but for me, for me, I'm like, where am I, you know, like, what am I even doing?
It was makes funny. You consider like, am I at the right place?
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot when you come from a completely different world
also,
and it's the first time.
Especially because, you know, my parents have always supported me, but obviously if you don't know what being a model is like, especially... I think from an Arab country, there is this misconception that it's, you know, almost pornographic.
Yeah.
And, you know.
I'll tell you something, even in France, you know, people that I know that are not in the fashion industry or older people, my parents' age or thing, when you tell them models, for them, it's like almost pornographic. You
know? That's exactly.
That's how they see it.
You know? They see the lingerie shoot and everything. So I remember my dad at the beginning was like, you do it, but
no,
I never want to see you in lingerie. And I was like, okay, dad.
And then you did the Etam show opening.
So I've been very good for years. And then I was like, dad, look, now I can tell what's a good job and what's not a good job.
Course,
and, you know, it's not like they're forcing me to do lingerie, so...
You know, and it's always something very like controlled, and the image is great.
And also, I work out so much; I need
to show it.
To show it.
It's true. She's a workout. Okay, so that's editorial, true. And after, like, you remember your first job with clients, and like how you felt before going into it.
Well, it started getting easier after because I remember I did the. Actually, I remember on my 19th birthday, so it's less than a year in, I did this Zara shooting, and it was in Tenerife. And I remember flying there, not even seeing anything about it. We shot in front of a white wall and flew back. But anyway, I was
it's like when people tell you, oh, you've been traveling.
Yeah, exactly.
I've seen walls.
Yeah, exactly. And for me, before going there, I was crying so much because I wanted to celebrate my birthday with my friends and with my boyfriend at the time. And, you know, I felt like I just didn't want to do it that exact day. But then I arrived there. They had a cake on set. And there was this girl that has been so nice to me. And we ended up, you know, chilling at the hotel and actually having a midnight swim at the hotel pool. Like, I had a really nice birthday at the end. And that's when I actually felt embraced and I felt like... There's good sides to the industries. There is good people, you know. You can make friends.
Of course. But in the meantime, like where you were growing up in the business, the industry, how was your talk with your agents and the people from like, were they helping you? Were you learning by yourself? Or how did you feel about like the comprehension of like this industry?
Well, obviously, a lot of things you need to learn by yourself. The fashion terminology.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that you just are born with it.
Yeah.
And also to figure out how to deal with different people. And, you know, when they're like, there is this big photographer on set, big stylist on set. So you just need to do a bit of research, you know, before. And they've always, my agency has always been very good to me and very understanding and very...
Yeah, they're known for that, for talking to the girls and trying to explain.
They've always been helpful. I have to say, like, times I felt a bit unsafe, maybe, or they came on set. You know, I remember this time I was shooting with the photographer I felt a very weird vibe from. My agent came on set and she was just working on the computer on set. You know,
I'm with you.
Yeah.
That's great.
And, yeah. That's protective. That's good.
That's nice. Yeah. That's nice to feel supported.
And I feel like I'm blessed. I started this job after 18 because some girls start way too young, you know, and they don't know what's good and what's bad, what's normal and what's not. And, you know, it's very easy to say yes to everything, but you don't have to, you know. You're a person, you have your integrity and your morals, so... you should be able to say no.
Mm. Yeah, but it's how, when you're younger, sometimes you're more intimidated, you know, because you don't have the self-confidence of being like, I'm not doing that.
And especially if being a model has always been your biggest dream, you'll do anything to get there.
That's true. Know?
That's why they use it. They use this against you.
Yeah. Mm. Like, I remember when you start, they bring you to do these test shoots with the... random photographers a bit around. And I remember this one photographer that wanted me to do it with lingerie. And I was like, I'm, you know, can we just not do it with lingerie? Mm. I promised my dad.
That's the best excuse.
Yeah. And he started saying things like, if you're not comfortable with your body, you will never be a big model. You need to understand when it's time for you to do your job. And things like this, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just walked out because I was like, who are you? Like, okay. I don't even know you. Like, this is not even a job.
I did my research.
I did my research.
Like friend of mine says, according to models.com, you don't exist.
That's mean. Yeah.
He's a mean person. You know what I'm talking about.
I don't want to know.
No, but it's good indeed that you were like old enough to stand up for yourself and you had, you know, as you said, your morals and everything. I think that's really important as well. And so your parents were okay with you leaving school and focusing on modeling 100%. Didn't have a choice.
You're like, I mean, they knew that I was never the greatest student. Mm-hmm. So, and they just trusted me, you know. They weren't happy, but they've always been supportive.
Yeah.
I mean, if at some point this would have started harming me or started going bad, I think that they would have stepped up. But they've always let me do my things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good.
So you had this year to experiment and have like your studies and then also modeling on the side. And then when you started doing it full time, did you see like an evolution? Was there like a specific job that made you want to really focus on it? Or what was the process?
No, I just, at some point I just changed my mindset and I was like, this is the only thing I'm doing right now. So I need to be doing it right. Mm-hmm. Otherwise there is no point. Like the purpose was to learn to do it very well because I know I can, you know, I know I can do it very well. So let's just put the work in and do it very well. And I'm very proud of myself for doing that for me, you know, because I could have also been sluggish and not really taking care of that part and of my business. But I'm a businesswoman.
I'm a businesswoman.
Okay,
that.
So after that, like, it started accelerating for you, like your career. You start doing show, major things. You had an ID story, if I remember right, no? Oh, Days
Not? No, Days.
Oh, Days Not. I
had the Days story. My first seasons were amazing. I was doing every show. I was running, you know, I did all the fashion weeks and I was doing 3-4 shows a day.
How did you feel about that? Like, because that's a big change. That's a big change of like the way of your
it
life.
It was crazy. I thought it was crazy. When you land from New York to London and you have to go directly into a show, like without even sleeping, because I was obviously flying economy, so I couldn't sleep going to London. And you have to go directly to a show. I was like, oh my God, this life is crazy. How can a human do this? But then when you start doing a bit less shows, you miss the rush, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah. I like the rush, you know. I like to do it.
It's very intense.
It's very intense, but I love Fashion Week because all your friends are there and you meet very interesting people and yeah. I mean, shows are a very funny concept because you spend 3-4 so hours time there for your 30 seconds of glory.
Yeah.
That are glory only if you're opening or closing most of the time, you know? No, I'm joking.
Come on. Look at her.
I'm joking. But at the beginning, I was so nervous. I was... The first show I did was Alberta Ferretti in Milano.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I was gonna die on the catwalk. Like I seriously thought I was gonna pass out. On the lineup, I had Bella Did in front of me, and I don't remember someone else behind me. And I was like, "Oh my God, where am I? This is insane." And then you go out. They don't really tell you where to look in the camera. They don't really explain you much. You know, you try the catwalk.
Yeah, the rehearsal.
You do the rehearsal and then you're there. And it was the first time that all these people were looking at me walking, you know? Mm.
It's a lot of pressure. And it's also like, it's a one-time thing. You go and you come back
That's it. Yeah.
You know, sometimes I see, you know, when, because there's runway where I'm straight, but there are runway when you go left, right. And
yeah,
you
so see, crazy. So,
I always think about those girls like go the wrong direction.
Yeah, it happened to me. I'm not gonna tell, but because then people are gonna go watch where, but it happens to the best of us.
Yeah, I remember it's a big girl, okay. Like a closing girl, like she did the wrong way, and when the show was finished, like they made her go like the right way at the end by yourself.
Oh my God.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Moment like, of loneliness.
Yeah, very loneliness. And the girl was like tripping too. Like.
Yeah, because you arrive there 4 hours before. You spend all the time getting ready. Mm. Then they show you the catwalk.
Yeah.
One time.
It's only once, right?
Mm. Yeah. They show you the catwalk one time. If you're lucky, it's easy. If you're not lucky, it's not easy. You have to go up and down, left and right. And then you have to remember.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay, and so you connected with the other girls from the industry, like you met some friends during Fashion Week. That's where you built your.
Yeah, of course. I think I started in a very good year, because a lot of nice girls started when I started, and it was really great to see them show after show. Going through the same struggles and, you know, facing them together.
Is it something that you talk with? Like when your girls are between, like when you are together, you talk about your experience? Like,
yeah, of course. I mean, of course, we suggest each other what to do. We just go through it. It's a learning process for everybody. We've never done it before, you know? So... How do you think? How are you doing this walk? How are you doing with these shoes? Because they're crazy. do you like the makeup? How are you, you know, how are you going to go to this other show that it's in half an hour? Things like this, just the logistics. But then also, you know, the mental part of it.
Yeah. What about the mental health?
Yeah, the mental health is, it's a big part of it, especially during Fashion Week, because you go to 1,000 castings and and they just look at you up and down, and then they're like, all right, bye. When they look.
Let's tell the truth.
It's a lot of judgment. Like, it's a lot of, like, you don't, if you have rejection issues, it's like,
exactly,
complicated. It's hard to deal with.
You're not really considered in some castings, you know. They if you're not their type that they're looking for, because they're also in a rush, you know.
Exactly, I was about to say.
They're also in a rush, and I understand they have their type that they're looking for. But I'm also a person, and I'm a sensitive person. So when people don't acknowledge me, it hurts a bit, you know. But then, you know, it happens to all the girls.
Yeah, of course.
You just gotta learn from it. And that's why I say that being a model is not for every beautiful girl, because you need to stand for yourself, and you need to be able to accept the no's, and you need to be able to go through the no's and you know, learn from them and be like, okay, they didn't like my walk, I'm gonna learn and show them next season I got better, you know.
Yeah. It's like a sports mentality, kind of.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, yes and no, because sports is something very rational. Like, you know, like a good, I don't know anything about sports, but if you like play basketball, a good shoot is a good shoot. A good walk is very subjective. I might like your walk, he might not like it.
Right.
So how do you make it better if you don't know what they want exactly?
Yeah. And I was talking more about like the mindset of always fighting, you know, and like always pushing yourself harder, you know, because if you get me, I don't know if I got so many rejection, I don't know if I have it in me to say, okay, fuck it, I'm going to prove you.
I think you do, but I don't think everybody does.
Yeah. Well, it's also something you learn. I don't think I had it before, you know.
Yeah,
it's something you learn. It's the only way to survive. And especially also after, during COVID years, a lot of girls that didn't push through, you know, all of a sudden you started seeing less and less, seeing them less and less. So that was also a time where you have to reinvent yourself and readapt. And it was a funny era with the Zoom shootings and
we it's did. Like it never happened.
Yeah. No, but yeah, I remember that they would be like, oh, can you shoot yourself in your room, like we'll send you like the clothes.
Yeah, and that's what I was
in the
doing
background. It was so fun.
You did a few of them.
Yeah, I was doing that. It was really funny. They would send
and then the stylist is on the Zoom and they're like,
they would
put
send
this with
two
that
trucks in the morning, one full of clothes and one full of couches and armchairs and tables.
No way. So, oh, they were sending also props.
Yes, so I would restyle my house as if I was in different places. And then at 6 p.m. they would come, pack everything up and leave.
Can I keep that cat?
Yeah, exactly. This is designer.
Yeah,
no, it was crazy.
Yeah, and it was the time where like, oh, we're not going to do shows anymore. Everything's going to be video and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
The moment we're back.
Yeah, but it's interesting what you're saying about, you know, having to reinvent yourself. How do you think you stay relevant?
By having something to say and, you know, by being truth to yourself and by being honest with yourself as well. Transformation is good.
Yeah.
Transformation is necessary. Yeah, it's part of life.
You don't want to stay the same that you were when you were 16.
No, exactly.
No, of course.
But it's true that like this industry, they love like the young girls, the stuff, you know, they get this kind of fascination with new faces, you know. So there's so many girls that start like maybe that have started the same season as you that are not doing it anymore. There's very few girls like you that are still relevant and doing the big things, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's very, when you look it from the outside, you're like, maybe I get one chance out of like thousands and thousands.
Yeah, it's the Hunger Games, really.
Yeah, it's the Hunger Games. Then you also meet good people that fight for you, you know. But
yeah, you build relationships.
You
right?
build relationships, but when you don't, it's really up to you. And it's my Moroccan blood, I think.
A fighter.
Okay, and we're gonna talk a little bit about like the industry and also you being who you are, which is different from, you know, everybody's got this ethnic background and stuff like that. But us with our background, we've seen that there's a very lack of representation of Arabic people in the industry.
Yes.
And we wanted to know, like, how did you feel? Like, did you feel sometimes that things happened that you were rejected because of your who you are or stuff that you didn't get?
So let's start from the fact that I grew up, I am mixed. I'm not fully Arab.
Yeah.
So being mixed means that you're both, not that you're half and half.
Yeah.
I am Italian and I am Moroccan. Growing up in Italy, I felt like I had to be more Italian than Moroccan. Like I was trying to melt with the culture and with the other girls around me. And I didn't really consider myself so much of an Arab, you know. I thought yes, I'm half Moroccan, but I am Italian. Like I you know.
But Italian is a strong identity also.
Also, yeah. Mm-hmm. Even though already back then, you know, people were making me notice that I'm not Italian. Yeah, because you have... you're like, I'm talking in Italian with a very Milanese accent. And they're like, but where are you from? And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm from here. I was born here. And like, but where are you from really?
Mm-hmm. Like, can I tell you a funny story? Sorry, I can't, but it's a story reminds me of something. Like, one time I was in Morocco with my family, like to a wedding, my cousin wedding, you know, and I only knew Arabic people like from France and from Morocco, from my family, you know, and we were on the couch, you know, on the men's part, and like one relative started talking in Italian because he was a Moroccan living in Italy. And I remember looking at my dad. I was like,
what is going on?
Because for me as a kid, I was like, oh, he can only speak either Arabic or French. Right. You know?
No, yeah, there's a lot of Moroccans go back and forth and Arab in general. So that was that. And then I started modeling and all of a sudden, all this side of me is brought up. They're like, wow, you're Moroccan, you're Arabic. And I'm like, yeah, I am, but I never thought it was a thing, you know. Where I grew up, yes, there were Moroccans, but like the school I went to, there were no other Moroccans, you know, so or Arab. Okay. So it was like Italians or some, you know, African people, Asians, but no Moroccans. So I was always trying to figure out where I belong, and I always knew that I weren't belonging anywhere there. So all of a sudden, they start asking me about my background in a different side, in a different way, and I'm like, wait a minute, yes, I am Moroccan, and a big part of who I am and my values and, you know, the way I think, it's also because I am Moroccan and Italian. So I started embracing that side of me even more and actually also researching more and getting deeper connection with my family, because it's not so much celebrated in Italy. You know, it's not the easiest country to be Moroccan. I felt that was very empowering and, what I also felt very interesting is the moment you are not Western, and so you're Moroccan for me or from another country, they expect you to be a pioneer. They expect you to represent your people and, you know, have something to say for your people, which in my case was true because I've always been interested in it and, you know, I'll do it gladly. I love my people. But I also find it harsh for some girls that are just 18, 19, and all of a sudden they're like, so they're asking them about these big issues. And they're like, I'm just a kid. I don't know. Why do I have to be?
You haven't even figured out yourself who you are, you know?
Yeah. And also they don't know your story. Like it could have been that your dad, I don't know, left or never talked about Morocco, never brought you back, that you just felt Italian with Moroccan background, but like nothing to say about this, you know. So yeah, I understand. Do you think that coming to Paris and working in Paris, because you just said
in Italy it's not as celebrated. I feel like maybe in France we have this
absolutely
advantage that the immigration is so huge from Algeria, Tunisia, Morocco and everything, that it's a bit more accepted and you have this sense of like community, especially here in Paris.
Yes, absolutely. There's much more Arab people that I meet in the industry, at least in Paris, than in Milano. I mean, immigration is also big in Italy, but it's just difficult.
Okay. It's difficult in French too, but like, I mean, like you were saying, the countries that used to be like colonies or protectoria or stuff like that, it's deeper, you know, the connection between those countries are much deeper, I think, that Italy wasn't like colonizing. I think maybe part of Tunisia, but like not like the French did, or like taking like full villages to build back the cities and stuff.
There's a strong connection. I'm saying especially here in Paris because there's a lot of immigration here.
But in the south of France too, come on.
Hey,
come on. Marseille. All the ports. Hey, we come from the ports.
No, but in fashion, definitely more in Paris than in other countries. There is a big Arabic community. I mean, not models, but, you know, there's quite a few Arab people that work in the industry. Many more than...
In
other places.
So it made you embrace more about like this part of your origin. That was a good side. So the fashion elevated you in a way.
It just pointed it out. It just put a spotlight on it.
Okay.
I did the work and I was like, okay, wow, actually, you know, it's true. I am this.
I have this baggage. Let me open it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But that was a blessing because I got to know myself better in that way.
Yeah. But it also probably made it sometimes more difficult for you. Did you feel like you missed on opportunities because of that also?
I think I'm put in this macro group of mixed girls.
That Lucky Man was like, was put like people thought that she was mixed black or something.
Like I am, you know, I am in the same category, let's say, of someone that it's from India or someone that it's Latina from, you know, it's just the same skin color, you know. So I mean, in that sense, they always kind of need
they
always love to check the boxes.
Of course.
So
it's part of the marketing thing, like we need that type of skin, that type of girl.
But I make sure that when I get on set, they know respect. that I'm half Italian, half Moroccan, and I'm from any other country, you know. It's different. We're different people, different cultures, like different DNA, you know.
Well, of course.
Yes, for sure. So yeah, you don't feel like this has been setting you back in any way?
I wouldn't say so because I am very good at my job. So that's what counts at the end.
True.
Obviously, you know, obviously the path is easier for other girls than me. I mean, we cannot deny it. Also for girls that already had contacts in the industry or were born in it or, you know, I always wanted to let the talent speak and the, you know, the hard work speak. And I think that's the best way. I mean, I don't want to beat myself up saying, you know,
No, but it's interesting sometimes, especially when, you know, you've had the success that you had and you're aware of, so of the work that you had to put in to be like, okay, maybe I had to work a little bit harder though.
Yeah, well, I'm nowhere yet, you know, I have so much more to achieve.
So if you're at that point, okay, I want you to talk about like this amazing Vogue France cover. That's a big, big thing.
Yes, thank you. So proud.
Yeah, congrats. But you remember getting the option, like when it came from, how did it go?
It was very casual. It was, you have this Vogue France option, But you know, it was a story with other girls.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
And they weren't sure if it was gonna go on the cover, you know. So I was like, I was talking to myself in the mirror before going there. I was like, Malika, you know, it's not a big deal. It's just, you know, an editorial. Then I went there and I met the beautiful creatives I was working with, Malik Bodian and Ib Kamara. And we had such a good connection. And I feel like they really understood me and they saw me. It was a surprise, you know. Nobody told me that it was gonna end on the cover. At some point, really? I just saw it.
Yeah. No,
I remember someone sent it to me because I work on the issue.
Yeah,
and like I didn't want to send it to you. I said, okay, I'm gonna give her. She's gonna get the surprise.
It was crazy. Yeah.
Well, you really had the surprise for real.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay.
I mean, I remember someone texted me and was like, you know, we're trying to make it work. And I was like, still trying not to put all my hopes up, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because there are so many stories of girl who was supposed to be on the cover and then, like, at the very last minute.
Exactly. And then the day came out, I think I was here in Paris and I think I bought something like 15 copies. I went around distributing it to everybody, to the hotel I was staying, to the...
This is me.
Yeah, I was like, went to the agency. I was like, put it, frame it, please, you know?
That's a big thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, how your parents reacted to it? Because, I know my parents, they don't know nothing about fashion, but like a Vogue cover that
everybody
they will
knows.
Understand.
Yeah. Everybody knows. Well, they were so happy. They were extremely happy. I mean, I think they reacted more crazy with my first Vogue cover, which was the Arab Vogue Arabia, because I was younger and it was the first cover. This one I was like, Mom, this is the best, you know, this is the best, the finest. And she also bought a lot of copies that she distributed.
I heard it's the most sold copies ever.
Yeah, I was like, let's make it work. Yeah.
Oh my God.
My congrats. Okay, it's amazing
thank
for you.
You. Thank you so much. Happy. Yeah, you know, after I've been working for 5 years now, you know, it takes...
It's a long time for a model. People takes, don't realize, yes. But it's a long time.
It takes a lot of work to make people see you.
True. Thank you. Thank you for saying that. It's important.
Of course.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Do you... What do you think is coming next week? What are your plans? Because you said I have big dreams.
Oh, you need to put it out there.
Manifest it.
No, I mean, I still think I need to achieve a lot in the industry. There's still campaigns and, you know, more covers and more contracts and more campaigns that I want to do.
You're under contract, right? You get a perfume? No.
No.
Oh, I thought you had a perfume. Okay.
No. I've never had a contract, actually. Okay. So there's still a lot that I want to achieve, but I'm also, you know, I would also want to be able to start to express myself and my art more and into different medium. So, you know, I just to get to know myself, I would love to start doing acting classes and... I've done already a couple and I thought that it really helped with modeling as well.
Yes.
So I would love to explore that way more. I'm really exploring different terrains and seeing what works best for me. So I don't want to put too much out because nothing is really set yet.
Of course.
I definitely want to keep working. I definitely want to work with Morocco more, also with the charity and everything. I definitely want to, you know, just prove people that sometimes I work with amazing brands that I always dreamed of working with. And I do the Ramadan campaigns.
I saw you when I was in Dubai. I love it.
You know,
I'm
glad. I'm proud. I'm happy. I love both the brands and the Ramadan. But I am not just
the face of Ramadan.
I'm not just an Arab girl. You know, I'm a good model. You know, I'm like I can do much more than that.
Yeah.
So
people will see it for sure.
You know.
But you looked good over there on the like huge billboard.
Of course, thank you. thank you.
You know, I had something in mind. You said in the beginning that you have a little sister, right? Yeah. Does she want to do modeling? Does she look up to you for that? Or
I think she has sometimes she wants to be a model, but she sees the back side of the job, which is having no social life and flying and being so tired all the time that I think that set her a bit more, away from it. But she totally could. She's tall. She's beautiful. She's sensitive though, you know. So, you know.
Yeah, it's not like you were saying. It's not for everybody.
Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, talking about traveling all the time and no social life. Like now that you're older and you have like relationships and stuff. Like, how do you handle your day to day? How you manage your life? You know, do you try to find balance, or you still like, okay, I'm gonna get 100%?
I have to find balance, otherwise, I wouldn't be here after all these years. You know, I make sure I have my time in nature. That's the thing that grounds me the most. Mm-hmm. I make sure. So as soon as I'm not working, I run up a mountain. I'm hugging trees and everything. That's really the thing that saves me. Then also training and sport also is very good for my mind. I do yoga, I meditate. Like, I make sure that I take time for myself as well. Because
to recharge too. Like.
To recharge. And also, you know, when you're on set and you're working, I mean, at least me, I feel like I'm on charge of the energy of all these 35 people that are looking at me. So I take that very seriously. You know, I want to make sure that everybody's feeling good and that everybody's is happy at the end of the day. And so for that, you have to have your energy level up. Yeah.
You're bringing the vibes.
I'm bringing the vibes. That's for sure.
Okay. I was actually going somewhere with my question about your sister. So your sister is one thing, but do you have younger girls looking up to you, or like, you know, not texting, but DMing you?
And yeah, so cute. Yeah, I have many young girls that text me on Instagram, and they're like, maybe they send me pictures and they're like, I want to be a model. How can I start? I suggest them sometimes what to do, to just reach out to agencies and send them pictures. Sometimes it's not easy because they're not in Europe. And for that also, it gets more complicated. But I always try to be kind of a guide and kind of, just the little tips that nobody tells you, you know?
Yeah. What would be like three things you would say to like a younger girl who would DM you and be like, oh, I want to be a model. How did you make it?
Okay. Well, first of all, sometimes they text me really young. Sometimes they text me like 12, 13, 14. Oh. And I'm like, girl, finish school first. Stay and then, school. You know, like finish, at least get a diploma and then, you know, think about it after. Then I tell them, I just suggest them agencies that they can reach out to. Mm-hmm. And I also tell them to make sure to keep their head up, head on their shoulder, you know, because you'll meet a lot of people that will try to take advantage of you, and, you know, you need to be
tough.
Yeah. Grounded and.
Or like sometimes girls ask me, you know, I want to be a model, but my parents don't want that. Because that's also an issue with Arab countries, you know, strict parents or just misinformation about fashion. And I just suggest them to talk to them more and, you know, just show them my profile if they don't believe you. Yeah, I mean, it's not so easy. But we need more Arab girls, you know, so I always try to encourage them because you never know, maybe one of them is the next star. Yeah, you know,
100%.
We definitely need more Arab girls, and we need agencies that scout there. We need, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
I think that would be a good last word, but do you have anything else you want to share? Is there anything that you want to talk about that you had in mind?
Well, I feel like I shared pretty much my story, and I just want to make sure that people take this easy. I want to make sure, you know, this is an amazing business and an amazing opportunity that many people get, but life is so much more than what this seems. So, you know, take good care of you and take good care of what you believe in and your dreams. You know, I'll make sure that you can dream it.
Amazing.
Thank you so much, Monica.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.